Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
If you're here for the first time, please grab a gift. We've got a gift for you. It's nice that you could join us. Great summer. The heat is here. It's coming on. Hallelujah. I'll take that over white stuff on the ground any day. Hallelujah. Isn't God so kind to me? Could have taken me anywhere in America, but he brought me here where it was nice sunshine and warm. Hallelujah. I don't have to shovel snow in my driveway unless I go and visit my son in Colorado. Coastal, it's great to be together. Just a couple of announcements before I get to preach the word this morning. We have an app that I really would like you to invest in and put it on your devices, because we've made the investment as a church to have that as an easy way of communicating with you guys, and we really want you to do that. I just want to remind you of the soul winning course that's happening at 4 o'clock every Sunday through the Sundays of June. And Andy Elms is in England, has set time aside in England to come live to us in America to teach us on soul winning, because he had a successful time in teaching the churches in England. So just put time aside. To connect with it, just get onto our website, onto our app, and there's links there that'll connect you there, and it's really exciting. Next Sunday, we have Dave Cape coming to minister. Dave and Carol, we come to minister Father's Day, so it's really nice. Dave and Carol have been our spiritual parents for years and years and years, and traveled around the world with Dave, and it's going to be wonderful to have the heart of the apostolic leadership that we submit to as a church come and minister on that day. So I want you to look forward to that. Saturday, June 26th, we're having the Splash, Summer Splash, what do you call it? Summer Splash Family Day out of the Tiltons. Jerry heard the announcements last week for the very first time. He didn't even know it was going to happen on his farm. That's what Covenant does. We just, whatever's yours is mine, and what mine is yours. So we just, but it's great. All the kids, come on out there. We're going to have jumping castles, and there's all sorts of details, and it's going to be sort of 11-ish all the way through to sort of mid-late afternoon until the bugs start biting out in the country. Then you start running back to your enclosures back here in town. So, but it's got everything up there. You got to read, okay? Be able to bring your cups, your own, all the other stuff there. So if in doubt, read the announcement. Hallelujah. Okay. Joan Harris thought I was joking last week when I said there's going to be no service on the 4th of July. And I'm still not joking, okay? There's going to be no service on the 4th of July. I would like to see you find parking. Besides the couple of parkings here, you will be walking a long way to church on that day. And so we want to just let it be a family day and a family weekend. And so just be released. Go and have fun. And if you really have a moment, Val will be ministering, and we're going to have church online, and we're going to be bringing this, the word and online. It's just convenient. It's just comfortable, and it's also, it's family. It's called Coastal Family Church, and it's going to be how many 4ths of July happens on a Sunday? I mean, Jesus is not going to get all upset because we ain't going to be in the building on that, okay? But so we're going to just have a great family time, and so. And then the night before, everybody's going to be at fireworks. The kids are going to be cranky and grouchy because they got to bed late, and you're going to drag them here. And then the children's church works has got to deal with them. That's not fun. Come on. So obviously, it's all I'm sold. Okay. So there we go. And I'm just a spokesman because the eldership team decided all together. I'm just the voice piece. So give us all a hard time if you really want to give us a hard time, Miss Joan, because we are canceling service on the 4th of July. I want to let you know the Bible school is starting in August. Please go and look at it. We've got brochures there. It's reasonable. It gives you a path to being able to get accredited to a degree. You're also able to get ordination. And if you have that in your heart to do, really want to be able to encourage you to be a part of that. So let's do that. Praise the Lord. So, hallelujah. So I'm ready to preach the word. Are you guys ready? All ears? Alma and Dulcie. Am I the happiest pastor to see you guys? Yeah, been away all the way through COVID. You got your hearing aid in there, brother? Are you lip reading? Bring me the device. I have missed this device up here. Yeah. Okay, it's on. Okay. It's right here. So can you hear me now? Oh, praise the Lord. Eh? Technology, eh? It's fantastic. Eh? I love technology. Okay. It's close enough. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So listen, before I jump in to the message, I just want to quickly pick up on the mortgage. I'll let you know there's like a timeline on this thing to make it easier for us. So I've got the PowerPoint up there. John, if you could hit that so I could see the numbers and the figures. Okay, so we have a drive to get rid of the mortgage because we really need the extra cash. We don't want to pay the bank every month. We want to be able to invest in lives, and so we want to be able to do that. So, and we have a commitment that they would match up to $70,000 if we give, okay? So this is where we're at. Isn't it exciting? We're right down to $77,000. That's how much we owe from when we kicked this thing off. It was around about $150,000 we owed, and it's come right down. And so we have, if we can get this payment done by the end of June, $34,000, it'll be matched with the balance. So we would be home and dry. If not, by the end of June, we are going to lumber we're going to have to carry the whole $77,000 and pay it off because the window of commitment from the people that have committed to give us the $70,000 will be off the table. So come on, go and sell something. Sell something. Sell all the stuff that you got in your storage, your sixth car. Sell it. Do something, man. I mean, I saw this guy, he's got 3,000 cars in collections. And I thought, can't you just sell one or two of those so we can just pay the mortgage off? Okay. So, do you understand my heart? I'm not going to twist your arm. I trust Jesus in you and that you won't sleep until you decide to make sure it's all paid. Hallelujah. No. My heart is that we get it paid. And I'm very grateful for those that have committed to come forward and contribute $70,000 towards that if we match it. And so we want to do everything we can to match it. So some of it's been matched already. That's why we've been able to pull it down to $77,000. So come on, church. We can do it. The king's kids, eh? Hallelujah. Owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills. So if we can't sell all the cattle, let's sell the hills or mine the gold in the hills. Do something, but let's get this thing paid for, and we can charge off at the end of the year just to another level. Do I have an amen in the house? Hallelujah. So I hope the guys are online. Are they online yet? Coastal, online, hello, hi. Those all around the world. Mate down in Perth, howdy. And Australia. And Mark Thomas in England. Netherlands. It's nice to have you all join us. And so let me pray because I'm really excited about the Word of God because I'm starting a new series today. And it's going to be good. Father, thank you. We're just grateful that we come. Position ourselves, we posture ourselves, we come and we yield ourselves as a family to come together, worship you, honor you, exalt you here on the beach, and to just tell you that we love you, that we are in love with the kingdom of God and the future of how you're going to move and touch our lives and touch the generations to come, and the best years are still ahead of us, Father, and we're excited about that. We do not go by what we hear or by what we see. We go by what your word says, which is real. That, Father, we're more than conquerors in Christ. That we're the head and not the tail. That we come behind you, no good thing. That, Father, you're the lily of the valley. You're the bright morning star. That you, Father, you're the head and not the, that we're the head and not the tail. Father, I know that we can encourage ourselves because your word is yes and amen to us. All God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Hence, I am very excited that Jesus is on my side. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the whole theme is obviously being fearless and faithful because last year it was all fear and no faith. And so we really are just paddling in the water. Just come on, guys. We've got to be people that are faith, that we can face these things, face these mountains, speak to the mountain about our God and not whine about the mountain to God. God says, just talk to that mountain. Let's deal with it. And so all fear and all faith and no fear is what all Jedediah said. That he likes to abbreviate it to all fear and no. So Daniel 11:32 says this. It says, the people who know their God will be strong and will resist him. It's a different translation to the one I've memorized, so I've had to read that one. And so the people who know their God, some people don't know God. Some people don't know about a God, never heard about God. Don't know about, and maybe they just kind of heard about it and that's all they've done. or some have heard and responded, and some have not responded. But what am I encouraging you, those who know their God, it requires you to pursue and press after and get to know this incredible God. Not a God that's a God of judgment, but a God that loves us, that's running after us, that wants to have a relationship with us. And so, like any marriage or any relationship, it requires time together, connecting together. It requires investment. If I just went around waving my marriage certificate around, saying, I'm married, and I never connect with Valerie, it will not go well with me. It will definitely not go it'll be very dangerous, in fact. But I connect with Val because I'm married to Val. I'm committed to Val. And so we have this relationship. Well, when we connect with God, we need to connect with Him in such a way where we're having a relationship with Him, that we know Him and we are confident in Him and not just waving our little baptismal certificate and said, I got baptized. And that's about it. And so we just need to understand that. But here it says here, and those who know their God will resist Him. I want to just drill down on Him. Him. It, in Scripture, talks about Lucifer, Satan, the devil. That's the him that you need to resist, and you need to be able to resist him because you know your God. You need to know where you're positioned. And so when you're positioned and you understand, it's like being in the U.S. military. I mean, in any one of the forces. You know. When you're out there in the front lines, you know who's backing you. You know that you know, man, if I'm in trouble, watch out. They're coming to get me. They're coming to help me. I'm in the same position. When you're pressing forward for the kingdom of God, you need to know your God, because the enemy is there and he's pressing. And John 10:10 says the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that is his agenda, his motive. He will seduce you, deceive you. He'll do anything he can to get you to be robbed and be stolen from and be destroyed at the end of the day. He just wants to do that. And so if you understand that his agenda, so his battle is for our future. His battle is against our family. His battle is against our calling, our purpose, our promises, our destiny. All these are under attack because the enemy is out there. But we need to understand our position. And when we understand our position and we stand in our position, we're able to press against it. And so Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." You don't understand. And I'm not wanting you to have fear here. I'm wanting you to have faith and build up and understand. Yes, for me, I'm just one of those people. Just give me the facts. Give me the information so I know how to deal with it. Don't just wishy-washy it, cloud it. I don't want to deceive you and think, listen, we're on the French Riviera, we're on the River Rhine, on a cruise here, because everything's going to go fine because you know Jesus. I know, tell you what, it ain't going to happen like that, all right? Because you just stepped into the enemy's camp. And a scripture, and Paul saying to the Ephesus church, listen, we are wrestling against principalities and powers and darkness. I was talking about the promised land. Jesus said, God said, listen, I've given you the promised land, go over the Jordan, go and take it. You think you're walking into the promised land God's given it to? No, they had 40 battles, 40 major battles that had to do to possess the land. Jesus said, I've possessed the land for you. I've beaten the authorities. I've taken the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and I've given it to you, but you've got to go and possess it. And that's what we're doing. We're standing here taking the beachfront for Flagler Beach. That's my position. We've got churches in the other parts of the county. They're all making their stand, all put their peg in the ground. And this is where we're making our stand against the principalities and the powers. And that's not my message. That's just the sideline. But the title of my series, okay, church, is I've called it Jesus Teach Us to Pray. Jesus Teach Us to Pray. And I want to just unpack it for a couple of Sundays, just to build our faith kites up and so that we can grab this. James 5:16 says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I want to be effective. I want to be fervent. I want to see prayer avail much. I know that I sit in a fortunate position of being righteous, and so are those who believe in Jesus, because I have his robe of righteousness on. It's not me and my goodness, because I fail every day. But I tell you what, I put his robe on. I stand in his authority and in the dimension that allows me to be bold in prayer. And so darkness is being held back by believers' prayers. You've got to understand the importance of us praying and Jesus teaching us to pray, because the powers of darkness are pressing in you. It's like darkness is wanting to enter this room. And I've asked John to help me here, because as we stop praying, as we delay in praying, as we ignore praying, as we don't care about praying, darkness will come in. Darkness will not hold back if light goes out. And so we need to be able to be those ones that are praying, and because the enemy is awaiting to come in. And so we need to wake up and realize that. In Chronicles 7:14, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name are believers, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. If my people will pray, that the light has to come. The light and life of God has to come, because He's watching over our words. God is poised to respond and move and act upon our prayers. He has chosen with His sovereignty to co-labor with us. He has given us a dominion of this earth, and we have to take it. And He says, you take the step, I will back you. It's like the military. You take the land, I will back you as a nation. I will back you with the military power and the might of the United States. That's what heaven say. I will. If you're a believer and you seek my face, as you pray and you seek my face and you deal with those things in that prayer closet, when you deal with those things in that prayer closet, then and you turn from those things and you repent and change your, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive your sins and I'll heal the land. So Jesus teach us to pray was a question that came from the disciples. The disciples asked this in Luke 11. Verse 1, he says, and it was like this. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, the Son of God, the Almighty, the one who raised the dead, healed the blind, touched the leper, he prayed. What do we think we can get away with if we don't pray? If Jesus, the Son of God, is praying. So he was praying in a certain place. And as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and says, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's where I got the title. I said, Jesus, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples, and Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Man, I'm going to be in the front row on that message. Be listening, taking notes, because that's what happens. In Matthew 6 and 9, and we're going to be in the next couple of weeks going through Luke 11 and Matthew 6, that statement says, this is how you should pray. In Matthew 6, 9, it says, pray like this. This is the manner. This is the pattern. This is the framework. I'm giving you the bullet points and how to pray. And when you grab that and you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, that's the way it will. You'll start seeing effective fervor in prayer. So hence Jesus was teaching, and our aim is that when we get to this place, that we'll become confident and bold and fearless and faithful as we boldly come to the throne of grace. And we know that our prayers are being heard. Why should we pray? What's the purpose of prayer? And I want to just kind of drill down on two reasons to lay a platform before I unpack what the religious world calls the Lord's Prayer. But it's actually not the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. He was teaching the disciples, because Jesus didn't need to pray, forgive my sins. He didn't have to do that. You understand? So he was the disciples' prayer. So there's two reasons I want to just drill down, leave it with you before we break and have fellowship and have some coffee. But it says that the very first thing is we care. That's why we pray. We care because we have a relationship with God. We have a relationship with one another. We have a relationship. Want to have a relationship with others out there. And we care about these. We care because our love is for God. We care because here in our relationships here, we want to make sure that the enemy doesn't get in and kill, steal, and destroy. And we out there, we have people, I call them pre-saved. They're all out there. They don't know Jesus, but Jesus is still ready to stamp salvation on them when they respond. So I call them pre-saved people. They just don't know it. We just got to get out there and tell them. So that's where. So those pre-saved guys, so we needed to hear that. We've heard the saying, all it takes for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. And so, church, we are the ones called and plan A to pray. And so we need to be able to do that. And prayer is teaming up with God, bringing the light, the life, and the love of God into a situation and announcing it and declaring it. And when we do that, prayer authorizes God to start moving because His light, He comes in. In John 1:5, it says, yeah, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot exhaust it. Extinguish it, I mean. Cannot extinguish it. And we see that as soon as we put these lights on, that darkness had to move, had to leave, had to go. In John 9:5, it says, while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. Doesn't 1 John 4 says, greater is He that is in us than he that is in... So there's a Jesus in us, and so we carry the light, we carry the life, we carry the love, we're the carriers of good news, we're the carriers of hope, we're the carriers... And so where we go, should the light go? Yes, the light should go where we go. And so Ephesians reminds us that we are not wrestling with the flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rulers of darkness and spiritual places. So the powers are opposing us personally, opposing us on our family, opposing our belief, our work, our state, our nation, and our kingdom. It is opposed by the enemy, and we've got to take our stand. And we care. We care because there's a calling on our life that we need to see fulfilled. We care because our family is under attack and we need to pray. Our church needs to be established where there's a place where people are safe, when we need to care, and our society and our nation. So the forces, we pray because these forces have got to be held back, and we announce it and we got to speak about it. And I want to just show you later on in Daniel exactly how powerful your prayers are and what it does in the heavenly realm. If we understand that, because we understand that the principalities and powers, principality is an authority over a region. And you will find that, and we're obviously traveling with Dave and stuff, you get to understand that there are different authorities, different principalities over different areas. They have different different things that are pressed into those areas. And one doesn't just walk into an area and think, hey, again, just take over. And think, okay, I'm going to start a church. I'm going to start Coastal Church here in Flagler Beach. I tell you what, all hell broke loose. It just doesn't happen. Church, it just doesn't happen. And I just want to kind of just pull up my device here because there's some information I need to pull up. But you just realize that the enemy hates you and is aimed to destroy your faith, your family, and your future. And we got to stand up and say no. And Coastal arrived here and it came here with a fight. It was a fight within and a fight without. Because nothing happened for 9 months, man. I'm thinking, God, what's going on here? I tried purpose-driven life, purpose-driven church. I tried every trick in the book and nothing was moving. But you understand there was a principality and a power that was standing here saying, Rod, you ain't going to just walk in here and just think that you can just do what you want. We had a fight on. And I was just, John Cubs wanted to have some information about when we actually moved to a place in our history. And suddenly I just went through and I realized, my goodness, look what happened as we tried to stand up. Val's, as we got you, Val's friend got cancer. She had to fly back and she passed away. My brother died. And then Niall and Tess, they left. Then my son nearly died in a stomach surgery. The other son went through a real bad relationship breakup. My other sister died. Josh Cruz died. Jim Curry died. Mickey Blue Eyes died. Joe, my other brother, died. So you're talking about things in a calendar, and then Don Norman, one of my spiritual parents, he died. So it just went on and on and on, and right up to where Val's sister passed away. Val's brother-in-law passed away. My sister passed away last year. There is a fight against you emotionally where you just want to lay down and quit. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. So, anyway, but we endure. The first 8 years, Val and I endured this place. We didn't enjoy it. It was tough. But one thing God told Val, he says, do you want to be comfortable outside of my will or uncomfortable and in my will? And sometimes it's uncomfortable in his will, but you've got to stand your ground. And he told us that there's people that need to be loved and touched by this presence of God, and by you people being in this room, touching other people's lives. It's important that we stood the ground and we just keep standing the ground. And the principality does not back off. Now, the great thing I did, I teamed up with the other pastors in the area. Other pastors have been paddling here. They've been fighting here, standing the ground here. They've been doing the spiritual warfare here. So I got with Trent from Epic, and I got with Mike from Life Coast, and I got with Peter from Parkview, and I've got with Kevin in First Baptist, and myself. And we get together every month. We have a meal together. We cry together. We leave our latest sermon at the door, and our title at the door. And we men that cry out that we have pains, we have aches, we have family losses, we have sicknesses, we have things that as leaders we cry out with each other, and we stand with each other. And in that way, we can take the spiritual headwind that this principality has no chance of holding us, holding the kingdom of God down as we've partnered together. So our mandate is to keep this beachhead. This is a beachhead. If understanding any war terms, God has told us to be here at Flagler Beach City. We have worshipped in all the other cities. We went to Palm Coast, and we're at the Epic Movie Theater. Who was with us at the Epic Movie Theater? God have mercy on us, eh? And then that was for 1 year. And then we went to Bunnell. Who was with me at Church on the Rock? God, same, shame, shame. I call those 2 years of sojourning, and we went there. But God has mandated Coastal to be here in Flagler Beach City, and here we are back here. This is where we stand in our ground. This is where we address the principalities and powers. This is where God wants us, and this is where we stand. So prayer declares that we care. We care for this community. We care for this area. It doesn't mean people can't come in from here, but this is where we are making our stand. Whether you live in Ormond Beach, or you live in St. John's, or you live on another county, or you live on the west side of Flagler Beach, it doesn't matter, but this is where we wanted to be situated, and this is where God wants us. And so prayer is like the iron dome that I see that Israel uses so very well to stop the attacks. And so we need to have that prayer come up. And so Jesus, help us to pray. And so when we do that, the shield of faith comes up. The fiery arrows don't have their impact and their contacts within us. And so we get to be able to stand. Having done everything, we stand our ground here. And so the next generation can have at least an open heaven, because we've stood here and we have addressed the principalities and the powers. So that's why it's important for us to have Jesus teach us how to pray. Look at Daniel 10, just to kind of just say, Rod, what kind of stuff are you smoking, saying this kind of stuff? But I want to just show you from the Bible. Yeah, and Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. And Daniel's been praying, and the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before the Lord, your request has been heard in heaven." The very first day that you pray, "I have come in answer to your prayers. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked me. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit and the prince of the kingdom of Persia." So for 21 days, the angel was on his way. He got a sign immediately when they pray. And so when we don't get our answers immediately, you don't understand the powers and the fights and everything else the angels are having to do to get. And here the angel got to, and took 21 days to get to Daniel. And then he goes on to say in verse 20, it says, "Since I must return to," the angel says, "I must return to fight again the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia," because they hadn't been destroyed. The archangel Michael was there. "And after the spirit prince of the kingdom of Greece will come." And you understand that in the natural, Persians were in power, and then the Greeks took over, and they became power. So you understand that there's this incredible move of the things of in the heavens that we're not understanding. And so here we stand up, and we say, "Here, the kingdom of God's here to stand." And the enemy is saying, "Hang on, I've been around you a long time. You're not just going to take it." No. And it doesn't lay over and play dead. How about Haiti? Went to Haiti. And I went to Port-au-Prince. And then from there went up to Cap Haitien. In Cap Haitien, there's all sorts of monuments about what happened in 1825. 1825, they were a French colony, and they had slaves there that came from West Africa into voodoo and all that. And they made a covenant with Satan that if they rid them of the French domination, that they would dedicate Haiti to Satan. That's all documented there. And the next day, the virus hit the French the French colony, and the slaves slaughtered them, and took dominion and took power, and then they sacrificed to Satan for the next 6 months. And that's why you can fly over there and you see the Dominican green, 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 and you come to Haiti brown, brown, brown. It's the principality of power. I'm saying this because it's important that we get to grips and realize I can't just be wishy-washy about praying. I need to pray and stand my ground because I am here for that reason. And so God really wants us to do that. And so here we look at the demoniac that Jesus dealt with in Mark chapter 5. And Jesus had already said to the spirit in that demoniac, just lost my place, come out of the man, you evil spirit. And in verse 9, it says, and Jesus demanded, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion. Legion, you know what a legion is? 4,000 to 6,000 demons. Understand that the spirit realm, you can't comprehend it with our minds, because we work with space and dimensions and stuff, the spirit world. So he had a legion of demons, because there are many of us inside of them. And then the spirit begged him again and again. Not, you understand, the spirit's now begging Jesus not to send them to some distant place. They wanted to stay in that region because they knew who they could influence, who they could have dominance over, how they could become possess different areas and different places, because they knew that area, that was their area. That's why the spirit begged them not to send him to another distant place. The other scriptures say to a different region. And so they didn't want to leave that region. I want to just tell you that the Bible is not here just to cramp your style when he says, watch out for alcohol, watch out for drugs, watch out for this. I'm not going to be, because God's a stickler. No, no. You get your life into a place where you're not in control. Oh, the demonic love that. They love when you are totally inebriated, because then they can do anything with you and possess you, because your will is so messed up. Demonic, love that. Addictions, I know. Get help, people. Get help. Get away from it. And don't kind of hang around how close to the edge of the line can I drink as a Christian, or I can do this as a Christian. You're opening yourself up to the demonic forces because we're in a battle, church. Can't play games with this stuff. This is a real, real stuff, this demonic stuff, and principalities and powers. And so we got to stand our ground. Then there's familiar spirits, and you've seen them in families. And they say, well, my uncle had heart disease, and my brother had heart disease. You have this whole thing. And then they say, well, and then my other guy, he had high blood pressure. And that's why they ask you when you go into the doctor, what's your history? What's your family? I've got 9 family, man. I said, I don't know all their problems. I don't know what they died of or haven't died of yet. I don't know what the deal is, you know. So, but they know that it's kind of generational and hand downs, and you see financial poverty go from one generation to the next and it's in a familiar spirit. And so Palmer's had, my dad had asthma, and that's a breathing challenge you don't really like. I didn't like it, and I had it when I was a youngster. I couldn't play sport. I couldn't participate. My mom's side of things were eczema. We had, which had rashes and stuff, and 9 kids, we all had symptoms of that. And when I came to Christ, I realized I can cut that off and say no familiar spirits and generational stuff. I'm not going down this bloodline. Right. And I've watched my family and even us, Val and I, be totally free of that handout because it's a familiar spirit. And I'm not doing that to fear you. I'm just telling you that there is a demonic side and there's a spiritual stronghold side that we need to pray and say, no, 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 because I'm the son of the Most High God. I'm a daughter of the Most High God. Just the other 3 Sundays ago, I was asked after church to go and pray for the single mom had just moved into a house in a rental. And she just said, man, we've had nightmares. The baby can't sleep. It's just really, and I realized, and the neighbor said, listen, the people that were in here before this rental, they did crazy stuff. And so we just took authority. We prayed in the house, and I thought, now I need to walk outside and walk around the boundaries. Funny thing, Jerry said, where are you going? So I said, no, we're just going to go pray over a house and sort it out with all this. any of it's junk. He says, do you want a 45? Good country man, yeah? I said, no, I should have actually taken it, really. Because I walked outside and I said, listen, guys, you pray inside. I'm going to walk in the perimeter outside there. I'm going to set up the angels around the single mom, because this is enough. We're going to take, because they called in the spiritual authority, and so we did. I walked outside, and the little boy had just been playing on the drive. I walk around there. There's this huge snake and turned around and challenged me. I said, hello. You don't understand. I come from Africa, and I hate snakes. Your life's on the line. Sorry, snake lovers. I just don't like snakes. And then suddenly a buzzard comes around. Blackbird buzzard comes around, and it's coming for me. I said, Satan, you kind of worked in the serpent back in Eve's day, and I mean, I've seen all this stuff. I said, no. I come from Africa. You're in trouble. And I just ran towards them, kicking, and boy, the stuff took off into that, and we prayed around there. I'm telling you that it became visual of the stuff that the poor girl was going through, so we prayed over it. So why do we pray? Because we care. Now, let me just tell you that this next point is important. Why do we pray? Is that we can cast our cares. Cast our cares, because we're not designed to carry all this stuff. I can come and cast our cares, because we shrink back. It says, the effective fervor and prayer of a righteous avails much. The New Living Translation says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Why do we shrink back? It's not because we don't care. It's just because it becomes so burdensome. As a pastor, you understand that when somebody's losing their house today, when I wake up tomorrow, I still have them on my heart because they're still losing their house tomorrow. If they have a terminal disease today as a pastor, I'm praying with them, believing with them, and tomorrow they're still journeying with that. So that kind of journey of prayer, you've always got the weight of this, and if your loved one's in trouble or your loved one needs prayer and you wake up in the morning, you're still praying for them, and guess what? They still have the situation, and it becomes weary where you do not want to pick it up. You just, I cannot handle it any longer. And I shrink back, and I push back, and it's out of sight, out of mind. That's what prayer eventually becomes. And God says, I didn't design prayer like that. I didn't design it for that. Please, don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to yourself. And so we shrink back, and it's so important that you understand this, church. The truth is, God has designed prayer not to stress us, but to remove stress from us. Why do I say that? Because 1 Peter 5:7 says this, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. New Living says, give all your worries and your cares to God, for he cares for you. Psalm 55:22, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. New Living says, give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip or fall. And I want you to understand. And I heard this preacher say it this way. This is how we pray, church. We take our burden and we place it at the feet of Jesus. And say, Jesus, listen, this situation, this problem, I just want you to now put it at your feet. Okay, I cast my cares there. In case you don't feel it, it should be rubbing your left toe there. It's right there. Jesus, do you understand that? I really need you to take care of that, Lord. Lord, today would be good if you could just take care of that. Okay, man. I'll best take care of it myself. That's what we do. And so we get burdened in such a way that when I get reminded, I remind myself, but I have placed that at his feet. He has commissioned angels. He has commissioned his word. He has announced to those things. And so, yes, like Daniel, you keep praying, but I keep praying and saying, God, I'm not carrying that burden. That burden is left there. I am telling you that I am grateful that you've taken care of it, that your word declares this over that situation. Your word declares that over that situation. And I don't carry it because I'm not designed to carry a church. I can't carry it because there's nothing I can do about it because sometimes it's in the realms of the spirit. So I require the unseen one to deal with the unseen stuff that I can't deal with. So I have to cast my cares upon him, for he cares for me. In Philippians 4:6, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and take him to and thank him for all that he has done. And then you will experience God's peace only if you understand this truth, church. Otherwise, you keep praying about this thing, and if you don't hand it to him, it becomes a consuming thing in our lives. It weighs us. It causes us lack of sleep. And you wake up in the morning. Yes, I know that you're losing your home, but I know that he's never seen the righteous forsaken, never seen you out begging for bread. He'll always provide a roof for your head. He'll provide clothes for you. That's what I am confident in, so I don't carry the burden. And I know that my Jesus went to the cross and he died for our sins, and he died and for our healing as well. He was, by his stripes, we've been made whole. I can stand in that and say, my God, I'm confident that I leave my burden with you because I know that you care for me. And so here it continues, and then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Church, if you don't get these fundamental things about prayer and understanding it, it becomes such a burdensome thing because, yes, we care, but we've got to cast our cares on him, for he cares for us. He wants us to bring it to him because then he gets the license to deal with it. Because anxiety, fear, stress, and worry is the opposite to prayer. So if you find yourself in that arena, please, the word cast means to place into another's hands. And if you have been burdened, if you have a burden after you've prayed, then you did not pray. You only have griped, whined, and complained to the Lord. And it's a discipline for us because we have this caring nature and we want to carry it. And God's saying, leave it with me and thank me and speak my word over that thing and announce what I've said to it. And don't pick it up. Just leave it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And so, and then we'll find, and then his grace is there to carry us. We're not graced to carry the burden. We're not graced to do that. We're graced to bring it to him in prayer and just leave it there. And we need to do that. Otherwise, church, it's going to be so difficult because you can't do anything about it. You cannot do anything about it. Like I said, the unseen one deals with the unseen world. And here the scripture clearly says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling like, you know, we have this reaction out of that person. That person is either yielded and allowed to for God to touch them, or they just allow the devil to work through them. And so it's a spiritual thing that we need to continually remember. And so we need prayer that works in the arena of the unseen to help us. And then we'll find our way forward and our way. Colossians 2:9 as I close. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through the union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. So when we come across these principalities and powers, say, I want to just tell you, devil, I'm standing here in the authority because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Jesus is the one that stands here. And so when we come to that place, in that position, and we understand the authority that as a believer in Christ, that we can pray and we can announce God's words, God's thoughts, God's promises, God's purposes in that situation, and don't carry it, it goes a lot better with you. And it's actually more faith. Because every time we pick it up, we've gone out of faith into works. We can't pick it up. Just leave it there. And thank God for it. Speak his word over it. And when thoughts come, thoughts are neither right nor wrong. It's what we're doing with our thoughts. Either it becomes a nest and somebody lives in those thoughts, or otherwise you say no. And Val's heard me many times driving along, and I'll say no. He understands. He understands exactly because I'm saying no to a thought. No. And so leave it with Jesus. So Jesus teaching us to pray, giving us the framework, giving us the pattern. We can come to him boldly and say, our Father, that you live in the unseen world. How precious and how wonderful is your name. Your will be done. All that you have planned in this piece of earth called Rod, because you made me out of a piece of earth. And all those others that, Father, in this your kingdom come in this earth. and your will be done on this earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. Thank you that you're doing that. You're working from the unseen to the seen, that you're using us as vessels through which divine favor flows. Thank you that we can do that. Thank you that we have the confidence that today we can go knowing that we're provided for, because you give us our daily bread. And we also sit in the place of confidence where we have no sin between you and I, because Jesus paid the price. You have that confident relationship. And that I can sit in this place and have the ability to forgive others that have sinned against me. I have that place. I have that confidence. And so I can boldly go into today knowing that you will help me and guide me away from temptation. For yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So church, we pray because we care, but we pray and cast our cares. If I can leave that with you this morning. Father, thank you. We bless you. We give you praise and honor. We give you honor. And Father, we thank you that as we go forward and journey forward, that you'll teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And Father, just have these opportunities to have breath prayers, that we can have breath prayers with you and constantly thank you that we've cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. And so church, I don't know how the message has landed with you or what you've heard. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit does when I speak these things and you hear it differently. But I want to ask you, what is Holy Spirit saying to you about this? Are you in a place where you care, or you care so much that it's just become a burden? And God's saying, would you cast your burdens upon me, for I care for you? Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Is there things that are laboring you, holding you down? Let's just take a moment to acknowledge it and call it out. Just in your breath, pray, say, Father, I can't carry this issue with my son any longer. I need to just leave it with you, knowing that you are Big D Dad, and that you are able to take care of it, that you are able to reach his heart and make the adjustment. Father, I don't know how to go forward with this deal, and I just know that in it that you provide me wisdom, because your word says that you'd give me wisdom. But I cast the care of it on you, that you would provide. So just announce these things, whether it's healing that you need and you're just carrying it and you're just concerned about a loved one that needs healing or provision or finances, whatever it is. Or just personally, where are you? Where are you? Are you? Because if you don't allow prayer to be part of your world, then what kind of relationship do we have with our King, with our Lord, and with our Savior? And it's just conversation with the King. It's just a conversation like you would have with anybody else. Have a conversation with Him, and He will guide you, and He will direct you. So, Father, I thank you. And Father, I thank you that if any of those that are in the sound of my voice or are watching online, that just in that place where they don't even have a relationship with you, and they're yearning to be loved by you as our Father, and be able to pray this prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, and they want you to be their Father. Father, if you're in that sound of my voice and you're wanting God to be your Father, just invite Jesus into your life. Let's pray together, church, because I sense somebody's wanting to respond and come get the loving embrace of the Father. Just pray with us and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. You made a way so I can come to the Father today. I give my life to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You prayed that prayer? Send me a line, grab a Connect card, put it in there and say, hey, I prayed that, Rod. Because you just opened a door for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to walk into your life and say, come, let's journey together. The best is still yet to come. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So church, let's ask Jesus to help us to pray.